You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
What's up, Bryce? This is Desi from season 35 of Survivor, Heroes, Healers, Hustlers. And I just woke up this morning with this overwhelming urge, this gut feeling, this, dare I say, intuition that my baby boy needed to hear from me on today. So I'm just calling to say, what's up? I love you. And please give all my love to the Purple Pants Posse, because it's a Purple Pants Podcast.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.
Hello and welcome to episode 90, Intuition of the Purple Pants Podcast. Whoa, baby! We done made it to 90. I am your host, Bryce Isaiah, and I am so excited that you clicked that play button on this week's episode. I want to take some time to welcome my first-time listeners. What's up? And I want to give a huge shout out to the Purple Pants Posse. What it is? What's up? Hey, yes, listen, we are on to episode 90. And if you haven't already, please make sure you are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get your podcasts from. Make sure you are subscribed. Please give your baby boy some 5 stars. Okay, write a review and make sure you tell a friend. Listen, let's get on into this episode, Intuition. I always got energy every time I record, but this week I got some extra energy because I'm so excited. I'm literally listening to my intuition and allowing it to lead the way for this podcast. You know your baby boy has been busy as a quarantine all right, listen, we ain't even gonna get into all of that. But yes, I am, you know, busy. I really feel as though I am following my intuition and on my way back to the Bryce that I know and love. I really feel like this pandemic has, listen, it's really done a number on your baby boy. And just emotionally, physically, it's just a lot. You know, emotionally, it's a lot to take in. Physically, baby boy done gained the COVID-20. And I had a realization earlier this week. Shout out to the baby boy, Wendeezy. Little secret, he is currently filming a show for HGTV. And he asked me and Joey to come and, you know, help out on set and be a part of it. And, you know, baby boy went, had fun. If you follow my story, then you saw. If you missed it, then that's your fault. You should be following me at Bryce Isaiah on Instagram because you can get all the tea without me spilling the tea. But, you know, I was helping Wendell out this week. And, you know, they had your baby boy on camera. And when they played that footage back, baby boy was giving, I'm in my third trimester. I'm not sure who the baby daddy is. Okay? Listen, you know, baby boy gained some weight. It's okay. I'm happy. I'm living in my truth in my life. And that's, I always tell y'all, if you are a loyal Purple Pants podcast listener, then you know, I fluctuate weight. Literally, I can go up 30. I can go down 30. But baby, when I was with Wendell this week and on the camera, whoo, baby, looked like baby boy was up 55. And so that really was my wake up call to be like, let's get on track. The weather is nice. I've really started to run again. And ooh, baby, that's been another issue in itself. to just get back into my routine. And I've been trying to give myself grace and not be too hard on myself. But, you know, last week I went running 5 days. That's an accomplishment for me. But I keep thinking like, babe, you used to run 2 times a day. But I'm just, you know what? I'm just meeting myself where I'm at. I'm following my intuition. My intuition is telling me, babe, get back into shape. Start running. You want to lose some weight? Start losing some weight. And I really just want to encourage my Purple Pants Posse listeners or anybody listening to this episode that this last year, well, for real, this last 5 years has been a lot. But specifically this last year and a half on quarantine has really taken a toll. And, you know, I just wanted to share that I'm sure there are a lot of other people that can recognize like, oh, babe, my jeans don't fit like they used to. My underwear don't go on. But, you know, we can all work that out. And I'm just following my intuition that leads me to be like, you know what, Bryce? Let's start meal prepping. Let's start running. Let's start holding ourselves accountable. And I feel like we can hold ourselves accountable and be strict on ourselves, but still giving ourselves compassion and still loving on ourselves. Now that's a lot to do all of that at once. And I'm trying to figure out my way, and I'm going to figure out my way with my Purple Pants Posse, because I know that we all struggle with so many different things the world throws at us, life in general. Topple that with a pandemic, topple that with, you know, your insecurities, top that with just you just trying to live in your truth. It's a lot. I just want to encourage someone out there to just continue to do what you're doing. Find your light, find your way, because we all can. It might not be as easy as I'm describing it, but as long as you are on a road to a better you, then that's all that we can ask for. So just like the name of this podcast, Intuition, follow your intuition. If your intuition is saying put down the chips and work out, work out. If your intuition is saying that person means you no good, then guess what? That person means you no good. Sometimes I personally don't always follow my intuition in the sense of I've got like, you know, I meet people. I think people are, they want the best for me, but sometimes they really don't. And I struggle with once I see that, I don't want to be spicy, Brycey, petty Brycey all the time. I want to be able to recognize you are showing me who you are. I see you, and guess what? It's still, hey, boo. Still show you love and still send you on your way because I see you for who you are. But that's following your intuition, and that can transcend into so many things and relationships and work and life and for yourself. And sometimes we don't listen to our intuition. Our intuition doesn't lead us wrong. And if we truly follow it, I feel like we can accomplish the things that we want to accomplish. We could see the shaded people for who they are and still smile. We could work out. We could lose our weight. We could do a lot of things if we just listen to that voice inside of us. And so I really want to encourage somebody that's listening to listen to that voice inside of you. Okay, don't listen to me. Listen to that voice inside of you and really let your intuition lead you. I am really excited for this upcoming week because I told y'all last week, baby boy got his second shot of the Pfizer vaccination. And with Mother's Day coming up, with my mom's birthday coming up, I'm so excited that next week I'm going to spend a whole week with Miss Barb. It's been a year since I've been able to hang out with my mom and John. Okay. Ain't no gazebos we putting together, but just be over there and just really spend quality time. And that bathtub that my mom has, it's been missing my body. So I'm really excited for this upcoming week of Mother's Day and my mom's birthday to really celebrate it with her. And since I'm going to be with Miss Barb, I figured, you know what? Miss Barb ain't been on a podcast in a while. So when I go to spend some time with my mom, I plan on recording a podcast with Barb. So listen up. If you get something out of Barb's message, if you want some advice from Barb, if you want to ask Barb some questions, something, I am going to post a post to the Purple Pants Podcast Instagram page at Purple Pants Podcast And you can write your question, your advice, anything you want to know from Miss Barb, and I will read it to her and she will respond. Or you can send an email at purplepantspodcast@gmail.com. Okay. Asking Miss Barb, what's the tea? So listen, y'all heard it first. I'm going to be recording a podcast with Miss Barb coming up. So I need for you guys to send me some questions, some advice, anything you want to know, anything. I am giving Miss Barb to y'all and she going to answer them all. And you know we're going wet our whistle. We want to put sunshine in the backyard and wet our whistle. So make sure when I post that post or when you hear this podcast, if you want to talk to Miss Barb, ask her a question, anything you want to know, make sure you email it to purplepantspodcast@gmail.com or on the Instagram post when it is up. But listen, okay, I'm following my intuition and I want to give you guys the rundown of this week's episode. On the menu this week, I am celebrating Destiny's Child's third studio album, Survivor, 20th anniversary. And I really talk about what the group Destiny's Child means to me. I talk about my evolution of music and really just celebrating Destiny's Child. So listen, this is a fangirl episode. So you about to get into young Bryce Bryce. And we've also welcomed back Audrey Sizemore. She's breaking down the latest four episodes of The Circle. We've got Barb's message and the freak of the week. And of course, you know, we got the church announcements popping too. So listen, let's listen to our intuition and get into this week's church announcements.
Welcome to church. Welcome to church. There's a church announcement, so now. Welcome to church.
Hi, I'm Lita Darmian.
And I'm Jenny Gorlick.
And we are Brooklyn-based comedians who started watching Survivor over the pandemic.
My name's Lita. I started with season one, and I watched straight through all the way through season 28.
And I'm Jenny, and I've watched 20 of the best seasons, fully out of order. And together we formed the Women's Alliance. It's a brand new Survivor podcast where we watch season 28.
And we bring on our comedian friends and former contestants to discuss the best season of Survivor.
And we're so excited because we have a brand new episode with our favorite former contestant, Bryce Isaiah.
So come listen along and join the Women's Alliance.
It's a man who, it's a man you, meat and potatoes like we're cooking up a great stew. It's a man who, it's a man you, meat and potatoes like we're cooking up a great stew.
And keeping the menu rolling, I am excited to talk about the album that I feel like defines my life. The album that truly means so much to me, and I don't know if you can't tell, I am playing the first single off of Destiny's Child's third album entitled Survivor. Now that you're out of my life, I'm so much better. Thought that I'd be, but I'm stronger. Thought that I'd be, but I'm richer. So listen, over the weekend, you know, baby boy was minding his business like I always do. And this Saturday, which would have been May 1st, mark the 20th anniversary of Destiny's Child Survivor album. Now, first of all, where the hell did 20 years go that it's been 20 years since that album dropped? Because I'm trying to figure that out because I'm still in my early to late 20s. So I guess I would have been three or four when the album dropped. But when I saw that, talk about nostalgia. I all weekend have been listening to Destiny's Child and the Survivor album and all of their albums, Destiny Fulfilled, Destiny's Child, their self-entitled album. But it really just brought back such fond memories of like my youth, my childhood. So I just wanted to spend a couple of minutes on the podcast talking about this milestone because truly the person that I have evolved to, the road of a better Bryce that I am on, definitely my foundation of it is in Destiny's Child. I when I tell y'all, I am smiling from ear to ear because I literally love Destiny's Child so much. And, you know, Beyonce went solo. I'm a huge Beyonce fan. But anytime I meet people and they be like, oh, you like Beyonce? I always preference it by saying, like, I'm not a Beyonce stan. I'm not in the Beehive. I am a Destiny's Child fan. Destiny's Child, I don't know, just means so much to me. And so let me just, you know, listening to my intuition, let me take you on a back down memory lane of a young Spicy Brycey. So growing up, before I was a Destiny's Child fan, I was a Spice Girls fan. Okay, yes, I said it, Spice Girls. I don't know how I became attached to the Spice Girls. I don't know if it was like Spice World, the movie, or the lollipops, but I really like loved everything. Oh, what I really, really want. So what I want to. Oh, come on. I want to really, really, really want to zig zig dial. If you want my future, forget my past. Okay, listen, I'm not trying to cut up too much this episode, but listen, I am just all about living in my intuition, and I love the Spice Girls. The Spice Girls was my girls. I think really had to do with I had two older cousins that I were hanging out with around the summer that Wannabe came out, and they were like obsessed with the Spice Girls. They had the Spice Girls lollipops, okay, that you could get a sticker. And I really love the Spice Girls. And so I wasn't into music prior to the Spice Girls like that growing up. I don't know. I was just like weird in the essence of I was the youngest of my four brothers. And I just really like lived vicariously through them. And I really didn't have an identity. And it wasn't really until like this summer that I started hanging out with a cousin that was like a little bit older than me, and they were really into the Spice Girls, and I loved the Spice Girls. We were, you know, every day during the summertime, we would go get Spice Girls lollipops. I remember coming home after the weekend, I wanted a Spice Girls poster. I wanted to get into music, and so I really loved the Spice Girls. But tragically, when Ginger Spice left the Spice Girls, that was like, you know, that was so hard for baby boy. And I remember like feeling like, oh my God, if Ginger Spice leaves the Spice Girls, like, that's it. It's done. Like, what are we going to do? I remember, like, I would, like, log on to, like, SpiceGirls.com. I was a member of their fan club. I loved all of it. And so there was a point in my life where I was actively looking for a new music talent to love, because literally, like, my first CD I ever bought, now don't judge me, y'all, I'm probably aging myself, but if anybody remembers back in the day, they used to send out this like catalog where you could buy like 10 CDs for 99 cents. And I remember my stepdad, Mr. Jim, really was like encouraging me. He was like, if you want music, like, here, you can get yourself some CDs from here and I'll get them for you. And so I remember checking off the list of like all of these CDs. And the first CD that I checked off, okay, was Aqua, Imaginific, it's fantastic. You can break my hair, undress me everywhere. So yes, my first CD, y'all, was Aqua. And so just, I don't know who I was, who I thought I was trying to be, but listen. So from Aqua, then I got the Spice Girls. And then from the Spice Girls, then they broke up. Then I was devastated. And my brothers really like teased me about the dismantle of the Spice Girls, because I'd never been into music before. And so all of a sudden now Bryce is getting a radio for his birthday. I'm buying CDs and all I'm listening to is the Spice Girls at 6:45 a.m. on a Saturday morning, because that's, you know, back in the day, that's how spicy little Spicy Brycey got down. And so when the Spice Girls broke up, I was just on a search for just new music. And I remember back, it was the summertime. And so let me break it on down to you guys. So at this time, I lived in a house with my mom and my stepdad and my brothers. And so me and my one brother, Brendan, shared a room, and my other brothers, Brian and Bevin, they shared like the back room. And so we ain't had no air condition, but we did have a middle room, which was like the computer room and the TV room. And the TV room had like air conditioning. And so I remember this is the summertime. You know, my brothers would be in the TV room, like watching music videos and sports. And I would always be like outside with my friends. But I will never forget. It was like the Saturday night. And I like came into the middle room. The air conditioner was on. And like my brothers were watching like The Box. If anybody remembers The Box, that's like literally like you could pay $2.50, call the number, and you could request music videos. And so I remember The Box being on and my brothers watching music videos. And I remember like when I walked into the room, they instantly cut the TV off. And I'm like, what the hell are they doing? Why are they cutting the TV off? And I'm like, okay, well we just about to sit in this room because I came in this room because we got the air on. And so I was like, okay, whatever. I left the room. And then I literally remember consistently singing on the TV screen. It was like these women in these like chairs looked like they might have been at like a hair salon or a store. But to my knowledge, it was Destiny's Child. It was Bills, Bills, Bills. Destiny's Child's second album had premiered, and my brothers were legitimately hiding this video from me because they did not want me to become obsessed with Destiny's Child. So I don't know when I heard it. I heard it first in the middle room, but they cut it off and I didn't know what it was. But I don't know if it was like on the radio with my mom. And I remember Bills, Bills, Bills came on and I was like, yes, never been, but now you're getting comfortable. Ain't doing them things you used to do. Only making me pay for things your money should be handling. And so I was like, yes. And I seen the video and I was like, oh my God, I'm loving these women. And I remember telling my mom, because at this time in my life, I was literally like in sixth, seventh, fifth grade. I don't know. But every Saturday morning, my mom would go grocery shopping and I would always get up and go grocery shopping with my mom because one, we would listen to music, and two, I could pick out the snacks for the week, and the grocery store was across the street from 7-Eleven, and my mom would always get like the paper from 7-Eleven and like a banana, and I can get a slushy and a hot dog, but not just any regular hot dog, the big dog from 7-Eleven. So Saturday mornings was like my judge. And so I guess that's where I discovered it. And then I found out that the album had dropped. And again, at this time in my life, I ain't had no radio. Like, I was like, it was Spicy Brycey before there was a Spicy Brycey. So I didn't have no radio. And I just like, you know, I was loving Destiny's Child. And I'll never forget, one day after school, my mom came home with this poster of Destiny's Child, The Writings on the Wall. And if it, now again, I'm aging myself, y'all. Now, listen, I'm 35, but listen, in my mind, I'm in my early to late 20s to early 30s. And back in the day, when people would drop albums, they like their posters would be everywhere. You would see them on the side of the road. You would see them in the mall. You would see them at FYE. You would see them in all of the stores. And so my mom one day was driving home from work. She worked in Center City, driving home on the highway. Okay, this is how crazy Barb was. My mom knew how much I loved Destiny's Child. She was riding home with one of her good work friends, who in my mind is always an uncle to me. We call him Mr. Ronald. So she was driving home with Mr. Ronald, and they saw like on the highway a whole bunch of Destiny's Child posters. And my mom pulled over on the side of the highway and literally took a poster down and was like, oh, Bryce would love this. And my mom brought it to me and I was like, ah, the poster was all torn up because, you know, they would like staple them to the wall. So my mom literally had to rip the poster off the wall. And I just loved Destiny's Child. I had a poster on my wall. And, you know, I was on this CD list that I was telling you from my stepdad. My first CD was Aqua. And, you know, when it became available, I got Destiny's Child from, you know, the buy 10 CDs for 99 cents. Now, here's the thing, though. Okay, I would buy the CDs, but baby boy would never pay the 99 cents, okay? I don't know who paid the bill. I'm assuming it's my stepdad, because I'll be honest, I never paid any money for that, any of that, okay? I remember, like, at one point in my life, when I was, like, in college, I, like, pulled a credit report, and, baby, that money was on my credit report. It's since been taking off. But anyway, I got into Destiny's Child, The Writings on the Wall, which for me is a classic Destiny's Child album. We've got Bills, Bills, Bills. There is Say My Name. There's just so many sequential songs to The Writings on the Wall. Now, I have to be honest in the sense that the age that I was listening, No. They playing Bills, Bills, Bills because we want to hear Say My Name. Now, Say My Name if no one is around you. Love you. The age in which that I was listening to these songs. Now, again, I'm just trying to get y'all to understand the Bryce that was of this time. My first album was Aqua, I'm a Barbie Girl. I wasn't into music at this time. So, although I loved Say My Name, you know, I loved Bugaboo. Come on, Destiny's Child. You make me want to throw my pager out the window. Not the pager. Okay. And then The Writings on the Wall. Oh, got songs like Temptation. Temptation is killing me. I know you see me watching you, but I see you watching me. So I have to say, at this age in my life, I didn't know what the hell none of these songs meant. So I did not appreciate The Writings on the Wall when I received it at that time. I just knew that I had been over this heartbreak of Spice Girls. I needed a new girl group in my life. My brothers tried to hide Destiny's Child from me when Bills, Bills, Bills came out. And, you know, I fell in love with them, but I didn't really like, you know, it's one thing to discover artists after they like have dropped something, but then it's one thing to like be a fan of someone and then expect the album. So The Writings on the Wall of Destiny's Child really kind of just like landed on my lap. But since then I had grown and then I was expecting the Survivor album. However, that came with trauma with me, because with Destiny's Child, I don't know if y'all remember, during the Say My Name era, they went through a cast shakeup where LaToya and LaTavia left the group. Now, this is at this point in my life, I'm online, I'm on Destiny's Child, I love Destiny's Child, I'm paying $9.99. Well, my mom at the time was paying $9.99 and she ain't never really know, so don't tell her that. But I was on the Destiny's Child fan page. I was on Destiny's Child World.com. You know, their sophomore album, The Writings on the Wall, their first number one hit, Bills, Bills, Bills. And then the Say My Name video drops and bish, we got two new members. LaToya and LaTavia left the group, left or got kicked out, whatever, you know, y'all know the story. And we got introduced to Farrah and Michelle. And I remember when the video dropped, okay, I was in the middle room, okay, under the air condition. I don't know if it was actually in the summertime when it came out, but I remember seeing these new girls. And then we didn't have social media, we didn't have the shade room, we didn't have TMZ. It was, you know, People Magazine, it was Us Weekly. The group shakeup, and okay, don't judge me, y'all, but the group shakeup of Destiny's Child rocked my core. I was heartbroken. I was just like, I am doomed. Every girl group that I like breaks up, a member leaves. And to make matters worse, my older brothers kind of sort of teased me about it. They're like, every group that you like falls apart. And so I was just traumatized. I'm like, oh my God, what am I going to do? I don't want to find another group. I love the Spice Girls, and my favorite Spice Girls was Scary Spice, if I didn't say that, because she was the black Spice Girl. Now here I got this all black female group that's around my age. Like, you know, I can't recover from this. I don't want to find another group. Like, what am I, like, this is trauma. You know, we talk about trauma in people's lives and like, you know, sometimes people don't really think what trauma, bitch, let me just tell y'all, the group shakeup of Destiny's Child was a trauma for your baby boy. And I literally went through a life crisis, like what to do. And so the trooper that I am, I'm like, well, listen, if Destiny's Child is moving on, I'm going to have to move on with them. And then another, a blow to blow, So not only did the Say My Name video drop, we were introduced to Farrah Franklin and Michelle Williams. Then 2 months later, it's reports that Farrah Franklin is leaving a group. What's going on, y'all? Like I'm experiencing death. And so I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to have to adjust to another member of the group. And then they announced I love DestinyChild.com. They announced that they were working on a new album. At this time, I was in high school. And baby, then, you know, we got the cover of Survivor. And it's that iconic cover. And I'm just like, oh my God, they're moving forward as a trio. Okay. And, Spicy Brycey, can you handle this? Oh, can you handle this? Can you handle this? Whew, bad move. We've arrived. Looking fine. Baddest. Okay, so then Bootylicious comes out. The Destiny's Child out. So another issue with Destiny's Child on the Survivor album was they had kind of sort of left their R&B roots, of which the Writing's on the Wall is, and they went pop. And they were getting a lot of criticism at that time. And I'm like, oh my God, like, what? They're hating on Destiny's Child. Like, I don't know. And so just, I can remember when the album came out. I remember that back in the, here's another thing. Back in the day when people's albums used to come out, they used to sell out. Like, you would go to a store, FYE, The Wall, okay? Walmart. To get your CDs, like, they would sell out. And so the Writing's on the Wall sold out. And so I remember when Destiny's Child Survivor was coming out. I can't remember what day albums would come out. I'd be lying. But let's just say albums came out on a Wednesday. I remember that Tuesday night, I got home from school. I called my mom at work and I'm like, Mom, you need to stop at the mall before you come home and make sure that you like pay for an album. So that if it sells out, I can still get it. And sure enough, my mom, and here, kudos to Miss Barr for always being a spicy, brycey cheerleader. Cause you know, listen, my mom worked, had four boys, was a single mother. She stopped at the mall. You know, she got home. She was like, I paid for the album. They had me wrap it up in paper. And yeah, so I got home from school the next day. I'm calling my mom at work. Like, I'm home. My mom's like, okay, I'll be home when I get home. I'm like, girl, come home. Okay, just the inconsiderateness of me as a child. Like, whenever I got home or, like, a sick day, I would just always be calling my mom at work. And I would put on a professional voice. But, you know, I was a young queer person. So my professional voice was really like a young lady or an older, hello, can I speak to Miss Barbara? Like, that would be me calling my mom's job, acting as if her coworkers didn't know it was me. And they would play along. So anyway, I'd go home like, Mom, what's up? I'm waiting for you. And so my mom was like, I'm leaving home. I'll be home in like 30 minutes. I couldn't wait for my mom. I said, listen, I'm going to start walking to the mall. My mom picked me up walking to the mall. That's how excited I was for the Destiny's Child album. We went and got the album. We just literally like picked an album up off like the rack and bought it. And my mom was being like, well, I came here the night before and I wrapped up an album. Where is it? And who cares? But like, listen, I got my album. I went into my room. I shut my door and baby, I got into the album that we know of, Survivor. Trashy. Nasty, put some clothes on, I told ya. Don't walk out your house without them clothes on, I told ya. Don't, okay, listen. Woo. Woo. Woo, woo, woo. Okay, if you a true Survivor fan, you know about Fancy. Okay, like, listen, these was my, like, when I tell you this album is the album that I literally came into myself. I don't fancy you too much, child. I don't fancy you too much. Don't fancy you too much, child. Okay, let's not get into apple pie limo. Now, this song ain't never really been a jam of mine. I felt like they could kind of sort of skip it. But I just lived, and I truly feel like I evolved over this album, Survivor. But how perfect is that Survivor is literally, the song is written after the show Survivor. Beyonce and Kelly and Michelle, they were writing the song together. And that's when season one of Survivor premiered. Shout out Jervis, shout out Ramona. And, you know, you voted people off the album. You voted people off the island. And that's what people were like comparing Destiny's Child to, was like, who's going to get voted out next? And Beyonce, if ever back in the day on MTV, they did making of the video of Survivor, and Beyonce literally said these words, like, you know, she was like, oh, y'all think we're going to vote somebody off next? Well, I got something for you. I'm a survivor. I'm not going to give up. So for me, little did I know that how much this song Survivor would mean to me, that I would go on and be on Survivor. It's just, it's crazy. And the fact that 20 years has gone by, Destiny's Child has released another studio album called Destiny Fulfilled. It came out in my freshman year of college, and my roommate Lance hated me because I treated my dorm room like it was my bedroom, and I just jammed to all of the songs. And I love Destiny's Child, and I love Michelle. She was my favorite artist of Destiny's Child, because I just, you know, I root for an underdog. And, you know, like myself on Survivor, I'm an underdog, the third boot out. You know, here I am with my own podcast or on the RHAP network with T. But loved it. You know, more trauma. If anybody remembers 106 and Park, the infamous Lose My Breath performance of Destiny's Child when Michelle fell on 106 and Park, another traumatizing day in my life. Now, let me tell y'all this story real quick before I wrap up my Destiny's Child homage. So, I was in college, Lose My Breath premiered, big, you know, Destiny's Child was going to be on 106 and Park. I worked during college, so I had a VCR, I had a VCR, and I had a timer on it, and so I recorded 106 and Park, you know, excited, and, you know, Destiny's Child went on to 106 and Park, and that's the episode that Michelle fell, and so I got out of work, drove back to my dorm, watched the video, was heartbreaking. Now, in my dorm room, I went to Temple University, TU was popping, okay? I was in 1300, we had air conditioning because the baby boy had asthma, so I couldn't be in a dorm room without air conditioning. And there were like these girls that were next to me and my roommate Lance. It was like Bianca and Sharday, and like we were really, really friendly at the time. And I remember I can hear them through the walls talking about Michelle falling. And listen, I treated Michelle back then like I treat Wendeezy, like I treat baby boy Jack. I don't play about them. So those were literally fighting words. Now listen to how crazy the story is. Through my walls, I could hear them laughing at Michelle falling. I took myself out my dorm, knocked on their door. Bianca opened the door, and like literally, like Bianca was like, "Did you see Destiny's Child?" And I cussed them out. I'm like, "Why would y'all laugh at so-?" like?" And they thought it was funny at first, but I was, listen, this is the moment Spicy Brycey was invented, because I cussed them out. I'm like, why would y'all laugh at somebody? Your room is dirty. And so once I said that, they were like, what? Child, they cussed me out. Like, can you imagine what, like, I'm literally knocking on your door to cuss you out about a Michelle Williams falling on 106 and Park. But that was me. I loved Destiny's Child, and like I still keep in contact with Bianca and Sharday to this day from college, and we always just crack up at that because they're just like, we opened our door and you just cussed the hell out. But I loved it. And from that album, Destiny Fulfilled, I got to see them live in concert for the first time. Now, another story is back when Survivor came out, I was really big into morning radio, Power 99 here in Philadelphia. They did like tickets giveaways, and I won a ticket giveaway. Now, I told y'all your baby boy got asthma. Well, back in the day, I had asthma really bad, and I won tickets to the concert, and me and my mom and my friend Shamara were supposed to go. And the day that the concert was, it was literally a heat wave in Philly. It was like 105 degrees. And I literally had like an asthma attack early in the morning that I like tried to hide from my mom before she left for work. But my mom was like, are you okay? Had to get on the nebulizer treatment. And ultimately, when my mom got home, my mom made the decision that I should not go to the concert because it was at the Tweeter Center back in the day. If anybody y'all know what that is in the Philadelphia area, it was an outdoor concert. And so my mom just did not feel comfortable like me going to an outdoor concert, whatever. So I was so mad at Barb for that. Like I probably didn't talk to Barb for like 2 weeks. But so anyway, I remember I was in college. They went on the Destiny Fulfilled tour. I got to see Destiny Fulfilled with my cousin. It was just amazing. And I just live for Destiny's Child. And I've always said to myself, I need a Destiny's Child reunion album before I'm like 45. I don't want to be like that 45 year old gay singing, can you keep up, baby? But I feel like at 40, that's okay. So I am really rooting that we get a, like, why not? Like, Beyonce is Beyonce. You know, Kelly didn't have kids. You know, she didn't drop singles, Motivation, Miss Kelly, Michelle's dropped gospel albums. She has a book, Checking In, coming out. And I'm just all about, you know, give me the nostalgia. Give me a Destiny's Child album where I can still like feel like how I felt when my brothers were hiding bills for me. And really all of this emotions that I'm talking about really came out when I read that post that Survivor had reached 20 years. Survivor is 20 years old. It is just so crazy to me. And I just love Destiny's Child. I can't say it enough. On my first podcast, The Maiden Voyage, we talked about a possible Destiny's Child reunion. And I just felt like when I seen that, I just listened to my intuition. And I just wanted to share with the Purple Pants Posse how much I stand for Destiny's Child, or how much the Bryce at that time stood for Destiny's Child. I love them. I live for them. And I'm here. Like, you know, I am just waiting for another Destiny's Child album. Let me know what y'all think. Let me know if there's any Destiny's Child fans in the posse. Let me know what y'all music, your first group that you discovered yourself, or your first music artist that you know what I mean? When you really like know who you are by listening to this music. You know, we got these kids with all of these TikToks and these Justin Bieber's and these Ariana Grande's. And, you know, but for me, it was Destiny's Child. And I just, I love them. And I, you know, I'm literally smiling from ear to ear, but let me know who y'all listen to. Last weekend, child, I was cleaning my house with some Mandy Moore. What y'all know about Mandy Moore? What y'all know about The Dream? You know, the making of the band before it was making of the band when Diddy put together Dream. They got changed. Like, you know, I just love music. And so I'm happy that I got to share this with y'all. I really feel like this was, a lot for me to just open up and share my Destiny's Child obsessions, but I could not do Little Spicy Brycey justice without paying homage to the fact that it's been 20 years. And let's keep the menu rolling. Let's keep the menu rolling. We are back this week covering another 4 episodes of the Netflix hit show, The Circle. And you know, I had to bring my girl Audrey Sizemore back. What's poppin', Audrey?
Hello. I am so excited to cover these next 4 episodes of The Circle. Tears were shed. Tensions were high. Oh. But it was so good. It was so... Bitch. I loved these last 4 episodes.
Lines were drawn, okay?
So true.
You didn't pick a side, if you didn't know whether or not you liked Courtney or not, I think like these last 4 episodes really shown you who you rooting for.
Totally.
So I was here for it, but you know, we got you back.
Yes.
So what's an I'm about to say foreclosure, not foreclosure, but full disclosure, baby boy is drinking a watermelon cocktail. So I purposely brewed it up so I could sip my watermelon and get the tea from my girl Audrey.
Yes.
So what's the tea? What's been going on? What's these 4 episodes about?
So I would say that the first 2 episodes were definitely like the downfall of Kat. Like, we saw Kat really, I feel like, rise to a role of prominence very quickly, with, because she was like one of the last players to enter the circle. But I think the first two episodes were really centered around like her fall from grace. It was bad, because I felt Kat was really good going into it, and I loved her. But she couldn't come out on the other side. Because I think her issue, so we'll go from the top. So Kat, after Jack and Lance, is Lisa the older lady's name, her actual name?
Lisa? I think so, but I just call Catfish Lance.
Catfish Lance. So Emily and Catfish Lance, as we saw, they first came together after their elimination, which ended up creating quite the trouble for Chloe, because the next day, whenever everyone was talking about asking if anyone got visited by them, everyone assumed that Emily was going to go visit Chloe, but obviously neither of them visited anybody. But Kat, the thing that I hate about reality TV shows is when people go in and are like, I'm going to play such a loyal game. I want to show you can win this game with integrity. And it's like, but why though? Why is that so important? Like, this isn't real life. This is a literal game. You're not like trying to prove that you're an all-star human being by playing this. Obviously, like, don't be a little crazy person and like do crazy, horrible things. But like, you don't have to like be the poster child for integrity. But I think Kat might have got caught up in that, because she really connected with the idea of like, I don't believe that Emily didn't visit Chloe, and just really couldn't let that go. I would love to know how much reality TV Kat watches, because I know she mentioned that she's like an Olympic volleyball player. Like, she is really like raw sports, and so I would be interested to know how much she knew about the circle going into it,
right?
Because
I was going to say, like, that just for me makes a lot of sense in the essence of when you're on a team, volleyball, soccer, you got that like camaraderie, the sportsmanship, like, let's, you know, let's win this with the integrity. And totally. Like, but bitch, just the circle. But, like, okay, we got people out here catfishing. We have lying is the name of the game. So the better you lie, the more I trust you. So yeah. I 100% can get on board and agree with you in the sense of that with Kat.
And I think so she also fell into the idea of trusting more people than just Chloe, that she really should have, I think, taken a step back from, because she went straight to Courtney and River, who are Chloe's like number one allies, and was fully like, I don't believe Chloe, I don't think that she, do you guys think that Emily went and visited her? I don't think Kat knew that this would happen, obviously. I think she thought she was in a lot deeper with Courtney and River than she was, but I think maybe what would have benefited her more was going to maybe Mitchell, because she had a better...
Right.
She had a much better camaraderie with him, because Courtney and River fully were like, no, girl, like, we're going straight over to Chloe. They're both super suspicious. And so that's really where the cracks started to form for her. And I just also... So... The character that Jack and Lance create, I think, is so funny. I did not like Lisa when she was playing Lance. Not that I disliked her like in a like horrible way, but I just didn't think much of her. But I think her with Jack is so funny.
Anybody like, with a baby boy is funny. So, I feel like the character that they created was like the best of both worlds,
totally.
Given the circumstances. Totally. And, you know, maybe I'm biased, but it's more Jack than Lisa. You know, I mean, what do I know?
Of course. They're so funny together, because I think Lisa's kind of just there for the ride. You know, like, she's obviously lived behind the shadow of Lance Bass for like how many years? I think she said she's been his like agent for 13 years or some long ass time. So I think this is kind of her moment to be like, woohoo, like, this is fun. Like, I am the person in charge. So I think she's just there for the ride. Meanwhile, Jack is like, we gotta get back in here.
Right, Jack's all business. Okay.
So it's so funny. And so And John, honestly, like John, so John's the character that Jack and Lisa are playing, but John is making so much headway. Like, River is over here, like, basically a puddle of tears because he he loves John so much. Because, so, they made John gay, which I guess, like, from a tactical standpoint is great, but I don't know if, like, I felt kind of weird that they both, like, coming in as not gay individuals, at least as far as we know, playing a gay character. I was like, that's kind of a little, I feel like that, I don't know, but they did that and it did well for their game. So how mad could you be? But it's all, but I don't know. I didn't love that.
I thought the same thing. I'm like, why does he have to be gay? But in full transparency, I feel like gays do well on the circle.
Totally.
So I love that. But in the same breath, I feel like we can think about River's character, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, River is not gay.
Right. But I forget his name. Oh, Lee. But Lee is gay. So I think that's right. Why I don't see an issue.
No, but for sure. But I just feel like there are, it's the same thing, just different players in that essence. So I wasn't. Right. I wasn't mad at John being gay, but first of all, I was just like, is this the LGBTQ like game? Like, what's going on?
It was so good. It was so funny too, because I think obviously Lee/River saw a lot of himself in the John character. He was so funny. But so they, like, John and River really vibed this episode, like, really vibed. And so they're talking, and all of a sudden, Courtney and River, they start talking separately together, and they're like, we know Kat is full of shit. Like, they are just basically saying what we saw happening, but just to one another. And this is where I think this was the smartest thing that Courtney and Lee did for their games going forward, is they went straight to Chloe and were like, listen, girl, Kat did this. We cannot trust Kat. I think that played further along into the episodes, because this automatically, they had a relationship before this, and this just really strengthened their relationship.
Right.
So I think going directly to her basically was the best thing that they could have done, because I think if they waited too long, or if Kat, because later on Kat tries to patch things up with Chloe, I think if Kat had gotten to Chloe before Courtney and River did, then we would be seeing a very different outcome from these four episodes.
Right. So here's my question.
Yes.
And because I love to read the comments, I love to, like, go comment surfing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to know, like, so let me just ask you, what was your first impression of Courtney?
I loved Courtney. We'll say that. I loved Courtney. I've never had an issue. He's always been on my top. I mentioned last week, I was team Terlisha between the Terlisha Savannah thing. So I didn't love that he was super close with Savannah.
Right. Put him at a off. Okay. So, all right. So what are your thoughts on, there is a lot of critique over Courtney. In the comments, in Twitter, on Instagram, because I like to just read the comments. And a lot of people are like, he's playing too aggressive. Like, I really liked Courtney. Girl, listen, just a lot of people say it. They were like, I started off liking Courtney, but these last four episodes, he's just playing too aggressive for me.
That's insane. Because if anything, I was going to say, if anything, I feel like he, like, pumped the brakes, like, a little bit on this episode. Like, he was more low-key than other characters were this episode, I thought.
Right. And that's what I thought as well. But I was just curious on your thought, because it's like, I feel like, one, I love Jack, but I am, at this point, rooting for Courtney.
Yeah,
one,
me too.
You know, Courtney, like, he looks like me. He sounds like me. He acts like me. I love it. And for me, when I was reading those comments of, like, oh, he's too aggressive, I'm like, okay, so you just want the gay character just to be, like, the trope. Ha, 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 ha. Yes, queen. Yeah. Right. Like, no, bitch. He's out to play, bitch. And if he sees something he don't like, he's calling it for what he's calling it. And he's going straight to the point. And I just feel like, for me, it was upsetting because I'm like, well, I guess we this is what strategic looks like for Courtney. And right. why does it have to be misconstrued for like, oh, he's playing an aggressive, like, what is aggressive about that? Because sidebar, if Mitchell were doing that, besides...
People would be kissing the ground okay. Mitchell walks on if he was doing this. Like, people okay. would be so happy.
Oh, I just, we God. Wouldn't be like, Mitchell's aggressive. Mitchell's yeah. like, you know, like we, I don't know. So for me, and even Lee, I feel like if the character Lee were doing the moves that Courtney was doing, I don't right. feel like they would get the critique that Courtney was getting. So for right. me, I don't know why, like, my fangs came out when I was yeah. seeing those comments, because I'm just like, why does this, like, why is this gameplay? Like, why are y'all feeling like y'all have to turn on Courtney because he's
right.
playing a cutthroat game for himself? The goal of playing this game is to win, I right. thought.
That is so insane to me. I think maybe I go into these shows, like, with a different scope, just because I always connect with players who I think that I would be like friends with outside,
right?
Like I like fully like go through their Instagrams. I'm like, okay, what did you post about here? What did you post about then?
So wait, you can't just say that. So who, when the circle came out, whose Instagram did you? Okay, so oh, I got like three questions. Sorry,
yes,
y'all know I'm crazy.
Yes, so
when the circle came out, whose Instagram did you fully do a full vetting of? And my next question is to the Purple Pants podcast listeners. You know, Audrey helps me out with the Purple Pants podcast. She's an intern. And so Audrey and Jack work really close together. And so there was a point in time and, you know, we do like little meetings every now and then. Yes. And, you know, not that Jack do a lot of anything of any of that. But, you know, before Jack was leaving for the circle, he... unbeknownst to me, sent this cryptic message out to the interns, just being like, hey guys.
He basically made it sound like he was going like on a like hunting mission. That's what I took it as. He was like, I'm going off the grid for a couple of weeks. I was like,
and
what?
So I didn't even know that. So Audrey texts me and was like, is everything okay with Jack? I'm like, girl, what you mean? And you're like, well, he texted me this. And so I fully wanted to disclose to you, but at the same time,
right.
I, you know, wanted to, you know, I want to know that you, if you tell me something, Audrey, I want you to know that it's like safe with me. So
totally.
I also just never got to actually like, what was your thoughts like when it was like, bitch, Jack on the circle? So don't forget, the question is, whose profile did you fully surf? And then what were your thoughts when we announced baby boy was on the circle?
So definitely Courtney's, because again, it's like, I feel like out of everyone in the cast, I'm most like, I was like, I would be friends with Courtney, because like Jack, you know, like I was already like Instagram friends with Jack, whatever, like, so I knew what his profile consisted of. So I was like, okay, that's fine. I didn't research Lee because, I mean, I don't think he has an Instagram, does he? Because he's kind of yep. older. Does he have an Instagram?
Oh, yes, Lee got an Instagram.
Oh, my God.
I told you last episode, girl, he DM'd me, said,
oh my God,
I listened
that's
to
right.
yes.
That's right. But I have fallen in love with Lee.
Yes. Oh, my God.
I am so obsessed. I wish.
I'm rooting for Lee.
I want it to be a tie at this point. I'm like, cut them both the checks. Cut both of them the checks. I would love to see it. A Lee, Courtney. Lee Courtney double the, crown. Lee Courtney
what
double
the
crown.
Haters were saying about Courtney, I want Lee to like turn on 1,000%. I just want River / Lee to just type bitch in a circle message. Okay, like that, like with an exclamation point.
Tell he's feeling it too. Like as the episodes have gotten on, because at first he was like kind of a snooze, but then as the episodes have gone on, like he's definitely like, I feel like, let his guard down.
Yes.
And so now he's like much more, he's so funny and just lovable. I'm trying to think, Chloe's from Too Hot to Handle. And so I made a lot of prejudgments on Chloe that I should not have made. Like I should not do that. But also in terms of what I look for in reality TV stars, since she is from Essex, she doesn't necessarily, how do I frame this? Deal with the same political issues, but different kind of climate I'll say, right. than okay. we do here. So I didn't feel the need to, like, look at hers. Because they also had a lot of, like, political segments. Well, they had, like, an election day thing on this episode, but not like election day, but it was like a democracy thing where they voted for a lot of things. And I thought it was interesting because she was the only one that they showed her being like, I hate politics. When it's like, when I hear someone say they hate politics, like okay. around these parts now, I'm like, okay, that's well, what we mean? Know well, why you hate well, politics. Like, because you don't have to worry really about saying. It. Yeah, right. So I was like, because the last time I ever saw someone on a reality show, like, say that they don't get into politics, it was, like, season 12 of RuPaul's Drag Race, and they fully, like, got that girl together. They were like, well, we know what, like, they were like, you don't have to worry about it. And so, obviously, that character has come around and has become more active, which is great. But so I thought that was interesting that they specifically showed Chloe saying that, because she, obviously, living in a different country, has maybe a different scope of things going on in the world. So I didn't, right. I definitely wrote Chloe off for sure. What was your second question?
So then my second question was like, what were your thoughts when the circle announced?
I fully thought, because whenever you were saying, whenever the whole thing with Jack, whenever he like sent the cryptic message, I was like, I bet. I honestly thought potentially the circle, just because, like, I also did apply to the circle for this, like, last little season. And so in my head, I was like, well, it's kind of, like, just time-wise, knowing, like, based on when I sent it in, I knew it couldn't have been Survivor. I knew it couldn't have been Big Brother, just because Big Brother All-Stars was happening, like, at least, you know, at the time. And then Survivor wasn't filming. But, like, I automatically had assumed that he was going to go film something. So I wasn't super surprised.
He just wasn't going off the grid for a couple of weeks.
I was like, I don't see Jack as like the going into the country to like go hunt. I was like, I don't think he's like that. So that's like the only, I automatically thought he was going to go film something. But obviously I am a team player and I wasn't going to blow his cover. And so I was like, we're just going to go with it. It'll come out eventually.
It will come out. Okay, yes. Like the allegiance for Courtney and yes. Savannah came out. So.
Yeah, seriously. I think that was like the first two episodes were mainly Kat's downfall, like I was saying, because she just really couldn't bounce back up. But I think the last two episodes, I mentioned last week that in order for Trevor, I think, to make a case to me to win, he really had to put the work in these episodes. And I think he did. Well, Delisa slash Trevor did just that, because once Kat was gone, who the influencers to get Kat gone were Delisa and I want to say Chloe. Let me look back. Yeah. Chloe and Trevor are the top influencers. And so it was really between, I want to say, oh God, I don't even know that I wrote this down. It was, but Kat was the one who ends up going out, and Delisa was really hesitant about this. And so I think that really woke Delisa up to be like, I need to figure something out. So she really connected with Mitchell, which something that bothered me about Mitchell was, and I'm going to preface this with, I am sure that Mitchell has had hardships in his life, and I don't want to take away from that. But him, the plan between Delisa and Mitchell was for them to create a closer bond with Chloe, create a closer bond with Courtney and Lee, and then eventually cut either Courtney and Lee in kind of like a, you know, in the final right. round. And so the way that Mitchell went to Courtney and Lee to try and make a connection with them was, he was like, people often judge me based on how I look. And I was just like, cry me a fucking river with this, like, based on how I look bullshit.
Right.
Like,
a heterosexual, white, good-looking
yes,
man.
Yes, beautiful man. Like, because again, I do not want to say that he hasn't ever felt a way about how he's lived. Never any of that. But to say that reason is why you felt ostracized in your life.
To say that to two openly gay black men in America, It's like crazy to me. But see, that's something in my mind I always go back and forth with, because I remember, like, in, I don't even know, ninth grade, we read like Gandhi's, the book of Gandhi. And something that always stuck out to me was like that suffrage is universal.
Yeah.
So everyone suffers. And so we can't put a scale on, like, you know, what someone's totally. Like, you know, so totally. I was giving Mitchell grace in that moment of being like, okay, I see, or I want to see where you're trying to go with this, but totally. Like, bitch, what? Like,
because it's Courtney, who is, like you were saying, openly gay, black male in America in 2021, going through a whole, like, obviously. And then Lee, on the other term, like, he is an older gay man, so he dealt with, like, the AIDS.
But River, but you, like, know, right. But River ain't.
Yeah,
you,
that's true. Gotta, I need to remember right. that. River.
So, like, that's River, true. Not that's Lee. True. But that's River true. Still is, like, living his life openly. But again, in that moment, I felt like, so many times in my life where I'm, and again, this is giving Mitchell the benefit of the doubt.
Totally.
That was a real and honest moment.
Totally.
And saying that, like, you know, okay, I received that. Like, you know what I mean? Right. Like, if that is what your struggle is, I can't tell, like.
Of course.
When I always say, like, trauma is trauma, like, you know, people, like, you know, so if that was, if that's really your struggle, then okay. Like, then that, yeah. That is something that we could maybe kind of sort of connect with. If I squint my eyes, turn myself upside down, and jump three times, like, right. I could get that. So I don't, maybe it's just I'm just in lust with Mitchell, but I was just trying to give him the benefit of the doubt, like, you know.
Oh,
I'm like,
God,
oh
yeah.
they judged you for your looks, baby boy, come over here and lay on my bosom, okay? Right. let me patch your wounds. But for me, it just speaks to the level of gameplay in which Mitchell is on, and yeah. in the sense of, like, last week, like, we literally call him a goat, and yeah. I really truly believe that, like, that's like, Mitchell, you're not here to win. And right. so and taking it in that context, I'm like, oh, okay, I guess I'll give you a B for effort, like, I don't right. know, because that wasn't a yeah, I don't know.
Because you could almost, I wasn't even mad when he did that, because he did the exact same thing with Chloe. Was he was like, we're often judged because we're, I guess, beautiful individuals, so we think, but you know, the whole thing. But I was like, I wasn't even mad at that, because you knew Chloe was going to connect with that, of being like, okay, yeah, I come from there too, like, whatever. But it was just a little, I don't know.
Like,
when
right.
he did that with the others, like, I was like, come on now. Like,
really?
Oh,
that's,
yeah.
That's what we doing, but oh.
Yeah.
And you expect them not to see straight through that.
Okay. Right, because they both were, like, a little too, like, obviously not too Mitchell, but they were, like, a little too late, man. Like, if you maybe, because Lee was like, if you had said this before, like, when you first
right.
came in, I would have been down for the count with you. Like, I would have been so in with this. But he was just this, if I think if Delisa had instructed Mitchell, and again, it all comes from Delisa, so we shouldn't even be giving
kudos, but,
any kind
but,
of whatever.
But at the same time, we should be giving kudos to Delisa for yeah. her to deliver this mission for yeah. this dummy to actually, like, you know, for
100.
In my opinion, I feel like it's just kind of, you know, Sierra, level up, level up, level
yes.
up. That's Trevor. Leveling up
100%.
That's giving me Eric and Siri vibes when they was like,
yes.
if you really trust us, you
yes.
will give us the idol, like, you know what I mean?
Ooh,
so, like,
yeah, that's a good comparison. Yeah,
in that same essence, I was like, I ain't even mad at I'm not mad at Trevor, because, like, whatever the demise
Trevor
right of those two, I feel like Trevor will be, like, he'll be the victorious one of it.
Totally.
So I wasn't even mad at that.
Totally. And I think that because of this, I think Trevor really obviously, you know, Mitchell is the one to go, the final one evicted before the finals. But I think that this really pushed Trevor up to the top of, like, the contenders, because I said last week, I was like, the top three are, it's going to be Courtney, Chloe, or River. But I think I don't know who I would take the third spot away from, but I think Trevor is right in there. I think either taking, I think River has set him up, himself up.
No, River, baby, yes, River has, like, listen, Chloe hasn't changed my mind at all. I still feel like Maya Angelou said, when somebody show you who they are, believe them. That's just my intuition with Chloe. But I really feel like with the fact that I am still rooting for Trevor, I am still rooting for Lee, and I'm still rooting for Courtney. Bitch, same. I have no complaints at all. Like, and I won't. And I'm just like, oh my God, if either one of those three people,
I would be so happy.
I would be screaming to the top of the moons. So I just, yeah, like, and I don't want to sound like I'm like just hating on Chloe, because I do feel like she definitely, she's been true to herself. And I feel like in the beginning, it looked like, bish, what are you doing?
Right.
But then, you know, the last four episodes really were more of her redemption. And it was like, oh, okay, I can like, but girl, for me, it's just like, I don't got time.
She doesn't need this, I think, is my thing. Like, you know, does that make sense? Like, she doesn't need this win.
I mean, so, and then here I go defending her in the sense of, well, I mean, it's the circle. So, like, I feel like anybody that comes to play, like, they want to win. So, I'll give her that. That doesn't really matter to me. To me, it's like the complete game that you have played. And I feel like, girl, you fumbled the ball too much in the beginning.
Right.
That, like, it's hard for me to make up. Yet, I feel like somebody like River, who like, I don't even know if he fumbled the ball. Like,
I know.
They weren't even looked to passing the ball to him, because he wasn't even looking. But then for him to like get himself together,
right?
It, like, and to position himself like, this is great. Then somebody like Courtney to come in and be playing A1 basketball all day.
And
I'm here for
back.
And bounce back.
Had his closest ally, like, taken out of the game right at the very start. Because Savannah was, like, second out. And so to be able to bounce back, I was like, okay, Courtney, make the Kardashian alliance or whatever it was. I was like,
and
you are doing amazing.
And I feel like, for me, that was a cautionary tale to other people that want to play the circle. In the sense, I don't know, like, don't ask me, but whenever I watch these shows like Survivor, The Circle, like, I always just in my mind take notes, like mental notes, and I feel like, okay, where Courtney effed up was that, like, he put his allegiance too much in Savannah. Like,
totally,
you need to split that allegiance. You need two, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, for me, that was just like, okay, that's a cautionary tale. If Savannah would have panned out a little longer, not gotten to the beef of Tara Leisha and Savannah, and then split the whole out, like, that would have worked out for you. But where was your plan B? And I feel like in your thinking of going into the circle, let's have a plan B. Let's have a want to have a Savannah, and let's have a Lee. Let's have a Mitchell. Let's have a Jack. Let's have a Chloe. Like, you know what I'm saying? So, and but yeah. So for Courtney, I'm all here for it. And then for Trevor, I feel like I don't want to say hating on Trevor, but I've been overly critical of the catfish aspect of it. And I'm like, is this real? Is this believable? And I haven't really been looked at it in the sense of me as a player in the game. Because I feel like for us as like viewers, it's fun to like watch as a viewer and we're like, oh, you're clearly laying it on too heavy. You're not a single father. Like, girl, you're doing too much. But in the essence of take it, like, we were actually players in the game, and we actually are believing that, like, you know what I mean? Like, so
yeah. And I'm glad that you pointed out, because whenever I was talking about Mitchell like confiding into Courtney and River, I'm glad that you pointed out about him only seeing River. Like, I didn't, like, watching that,
right,
I didn't connect that. So I'm glad you pointed that out, because that honestly has like fully like rocked my world. I was like, oh my God, you're right. He has no idea that it's Lee on the other side. So that's a good reminder.
It's just when we watch these shows, it's just so much because we watch as ourselves. Like, it's almost like watching The Circle is like playing The Circle.
Right.
Because we're watching it as ourselves in our own authentic emotions. But then I think when you add, if you try to just put yourself into any one of those shoes, like, you just don't, like, the opportunity is endless in the sense that you just don't know what the hell to believe. And so my intuition tends to give more leeway to the players and not be so critical,
right?
Because it's easy being a sideline in your bed eating Chinese food.
Seriously, a lot of people always love to be like, oh my God, they really messed this up. And I remember one time, I don't get into a lot of Facebook or Twitter beef, but because I'm just
a Facebook beef.
But one time someone was like saying something and I was like, oh, when were you cast on the show? Like, until you play, I don't feel like you have like actual ground to be like, you are a fucking loser. Like, what? Get on the show then say that. Like,
that's my comeback to anybody that ever claps back at me like, you're a horrible player. You're a third out. And my clap back is always, remind me what season you played again.
Literally.
Oh, okay. I'll wait.
Literally, because it's like casting is part of the game in and of itself.
Okay.
Like, people send in video after video. Like, you see people on like Drag Race say how they took 9 tries to get on the show until they learned the like system of getting on the show. Like, that in and of itself is playing the game. And so until people are crazy, people just really like to the sideline, like, what is it, Monday morning quarterback? Y'all need to get over it. Like, play the game yourselves and then tell me how easy or hard it is. Oh God, people just don't get that.
It's a lot. It is, but I mean, sometimes it's hard to, you get wrapped up in just being yourself and watching it and just unwinding and just letting your own emotions play into it. But I feel like when you commentate, I think that, is that a word though? Did I say that right? Commentate?
I think so. Yeah. Okay. I didn't think anything wrong. Yeah.
I feel like when you commentate, it's important to think of like all the sides. And so sometimes I'm guilty of that because, you know, I came in hot and heavy from Emily. So I wasn't here for nobody. But you know, putting yourself and seeing how the chips fall. But with this, you know, rewatch or rewind coming to an end, what are your thoughts on who do you think is going to take it home?
I think I will be shocked if Lee doesn't go home with the win, just because Chloe in the last rankings really struggled with who she needed to put where, because she had Trevor in her ear. And I think that it was Chloe's vote that put River as the final like super influencer. So I think that River has Chloe, who, unless she votes in a way that puts herself in a better position, because like, I mean, they're free to put River at the bottom if they think he's going to win. But if they all vote on like who they think played the best, I think Courtney will put River highly. I think Chloe will put River highly. And even Trevor and River had a bond together. Like, I don't think Trevor put River low on the thing, and John had great connections with River. So I think, maybe, unless I'm remembering wrong and they vote after they meet each other, I think River is taking it home 100%.
Yeah, I want to second that in the essence of I want it to be Courtney. So I'm going to just say that. And my pick is Courtney. But I would be not surprised if it's not Courtney in the essence that Courtney has played a flawless game. You know, if I were playing this with Courtney, bitch, the person that I would want to get out between the people that are left is Courtney. So I would not, I can't be shocked that they would all turn on him. So, but I'm here for it and I'm rooting for Courtney, but I definitely would have to say Lee, AKA River. But I wouldn't be surprised at Trevor too. Trevor has definitely a comeback story. So it's so much. So I don't know. So next week just needs to hurry up so we can finally close this chapter of the circle and figure out what's tea, because it's a lot.
Seriously, and they left us on such an emotional end too, like full tears when they had the family messages. And when Courtney said why, like what he'll do with the money, he was like, because he was saying how his stepfather like really took the place of his actual dad and showed him like what it means to be a man. And I was like fully in tears. I was like, that's so cute. Like, and obviously you can tell it means so much to him. This, like, really, like, humanized the players, obviously. Like, I think John's character obviously had to, like, make up a full ass lie. So, like, you didn't connect with the John character quite so much. But I think everyone else, like, I was a puddle. Like, so emotional. It was so sweet.
Yeah, it was a lot. And just that essence of us, like, us talking about taking ourselves out and not being watchers, but being actual, like, yeah, I was like, come on, Courtney, just really, it reminded me of myself, like, you know, my biological father wasn't really in my life, but my stepdad, like, I just, yeah. Woo, we ain't going there today, but I loved every bit of it. So.
Oh, it was good. It was a good season.
Stay tuned.
Yes.
For season sure. Final. And that's, again, why I love the circle. It's like, it hits you hot, fast, in a hurry, and then it's done. Don't drag on. It just, like, yeah. So I'm loving the circle. You know, I'm biased, Emily, but I am. Can't wait until, I don't even know, if one episode, two episodes, whatever the hell ups is dropping next week so we can see the conclusion and see who wins. I'm excited. But thank you so much, Audrey, for coming on and breaking this down for the Purple Pants Posse. Before we go, let the people know where they can find you at on your YouTube and what you've been over there covering, sister wife.
Yes. So my YouTube, the easiest way to find it is to go to my Twitter at Audrey Sizemore 1.
One.
Yes, the one is at the end. I repost my videos there with a link so it's easier to connect back into the video. The Seeking Sister Wives is heating up. One couple has just been accused of alleged domestic violence, and so I just covered that. So it is getting hot and heavy over there. TLC is in hot water for more than one reasons right now. So it is not looking good for that channel, but it is looking great for my channel. So definitely go over and watch the videos, like and subscribe. It would mean so much to me on my journey to monetization on YouTube.
Yes, come on, get that coin. Well, all right, Audrey, we will catch up soon and talk the winner of the circle next time we talk.
Yes, sounds good.
All right, bye, boo.
Bye.
The following message is brought to you by Give Me a B.
B.
Give Me an A.
A.
Give Me an R.
R.
Give Me a B. 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 B.
Let me hear it.
B. A. R. B. Bar. 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 B. A. R. B. Bar. Bar. Bar.
Greetings, my dear friends. As you know, I'm always on the search for positive, uplifting words to share. And while searching, I found a piece written by Nikki Bannis, whom you all know I love. And it's titled, Yet to Come. Always know that better things are up ahead. If you are going through hard times right now, know that things will get better. Things will change and turn in your favor. You will get that job. You will find new strength and new light that you didn't know you had within you. You will grow and rise out of these times. And if you are going through wonderful times right now, know that the best is still yet to come. Keep dreaming of growing and rising higher. You have new mountains to climb in front of you and bigger dreams to chase. And so, my friends, no matter where you are right now, always, always know that the best is still yet to come. Love you.
Who's the freak? Who's the freak? Who's the freak of the week? Who's that? Who's that? Who's that freaky, freaky, freak? Who's the freak of the week? Might be me, might be be you might be.
And we are on to this week's Freak of the Week. And listen, I am so excited. I want to scream it to the top of the roof. But I'm going to keep it cute. And I'm going to just make it the Freak of the Week. So I told y'all earlier in the week, Baby Boy was on set with Wendeezy filming an HGTV show that he's currently filming. But listen, Purple Pants Posse, the news just broke. This might be a Purple Pants podcast exclusive, but May 9th on HGTV, okay? Hometown Takeover Live, listen! Our Baby Boy, Wendeezy, heads to Wetonka, Alabama. Now, I don't even know if I said that right. Wetonka? Wetonka? Whatever it is. Wetonka, Alabama. Okay, listen. He helps Ben and Aaron renovate the whole city. Listen. Our Baby Boy Wendell is out here doing the damn thing. He ain't letting no pandemic stop him. And you know me, I can't be myself unless I am cheering my brother on. So listen, set your DVRs, get your remote, tell a friend to tell a friend that Sunday, May 9th at 8 p.m., our boy Wendeezy is going to be on Hometown Takeover Live on HGTV. And so listen, I'm all about giving people their flowers while they're here to receive them. And my way of giving people flowers is making them Freak of the Week. So listen, Wendeezy, Hometown Takeover, Wetonka, what's goody? We on HGTV, so listen. Okay, I don't even know if Wendell has posted it yet, but when he does, or just head over to his Instagram, Wendell Holland, or his Twitter at Wendell Holland or something like that, and let Baby Boy know he is the Freak of the Week. Okay, come on, Hometown Takeover. Oh, it's a hometown to take over. It's a hometown. It's a it's a hometown. It's a hometown takeover. Wetonka, get ready, cause our Baby Boy Wendeezy is in the building. Yes, listen. Okay, sorry, Bryce. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5. Sorry, I just listen. When it comes to my brother Wendeezy, you know I get hype. Okay, listen. Okay, all right, calm down. Calm down. I'm here to deliver the Freak of the Week, not just scream on the microphone. Woo. Well, some people say that's all you do every week is just scream on the microphone. Ooh, and ooh. But listen, if Wendell is Freak of the Week over there at Hometown Takeover Live in Wetonka, that means we are coming to an end of another amazing episode. I cannot thank you guys enough for following your intuition and listening to this episode and following your baby boy and supporting me like you do. Okay. Make sure you guys are subscribed to the Purple Pants Podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We out there. You know, it's warm out. So Uncle Pookie is all over the city of Philadelphia. So if you need that, you better get with my Uncle Pookie and subscribe. Make sure you give your baby boy some 5 stars, write a review, and tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a cousin to tell a brother to tell a uncle to tell a sister that it's Hometown Takeover. It's a.
It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You better get your headphones and listen up quick. Woo. The Purple Pants Podcast. You better listen in public, might make your stomach hurt. Ooh. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to unwind. You better get that box wine. It's the Purple Pants Podcast. You're trying to get your snack. You better hurry right back, though. It's the Purple Pants. It's the Purple Pants.